Grace and peace unto you, my father's children. We thank God for another day, another opportunity to be in the land of the living. Let us pray. Father, we glorify you. God, we lift you up. We magnify you. We extol you. There is none like you. And our hearts give you praise on today. We thank you, O God, for just being alive, for every heartbeat, for every breath. We thank you, O God, for the ability of our limbs. We thank you, O God, for being able to think. We thank you, O God, for being able to move. We thank you, O God, because it is in you that we live, we move, we have our being. We thank you, O God, that anything we did yesterday didn't disqualify us from being here today. We thank you, O God, that in spite of us, you assigned us to your life's plan for, again, another day, another moment. We'll never be able to thank you enough for all that you've done for us, to us. Now, God, as we delve into your word today, God, speak to us so clearly, we will never be able to deny that we've been spoken to. God, thank you for these, your people, who counted it not robbery to get up out of their slumber, get up out of their sleep, to hear what you have to say on today. God, I pray that you will bless them. God, that you will meet them at the point of their need. God, that they will be able to know and understand that you are with them, that you love them. God, that you will never leave them. God, that you will never forsake them. God, that you care about their innermost thoughts, dreams, aspirations, concerns, worries. God, all of it. God, and that nothing, absolutely nothing about their life gets past you. God, we love you today. God, we bless you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you that counted it not robbery to be able to get up out of your sleep, get up out of your slumber, to hear what the Lord would have to say to us on today. On this morning, our travels take us to a very familiar verse, very familiar passage, Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12, verse 1. It is unlike me to read from just one verse, because normally the context of a text comes out of surrounding verses. But the Lord sent me to only one verse on today, so I must be obedient. But I believe when I read this verse that it will give you all of the context that is needed. Romans 12, verse 1. Again, a familiar passage of scripture. Many of you all have already started speaking it in your head. I will read it from several versions to give more color, if you will, to it. But it stands on its own. We're going to start in the King James Version that says it like this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's read this from the Contemporary English Version. It says, dear friends, God is good. So I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That is the most sensible way to serve God. The Amplified Version says it like this: I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. I will jump down here. The English easy to read version says this: "So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. An offering that is only for God and pleasing to Him. Considering what He has done, it is only right that you should worship Him in this way." New American Standard Bible says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." The New Living Translation says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." I think you all have gotten the picture. One more. Let me read from the Phillips version. The Phillips version. It says this: "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him." And the word of the Lord is blessed. Question for you on this morning: do you really know what worship is? Do you really know what worship is? I ask the question because so often in church services, we think a certain portion of the service, if you will, is worship. We feel as though it's not worship if it's, you know, fast music and hand clapping and shouts of exclamation, you know, unto God. We feel as though it's not worship when everything is moving fast pace, or when there is, you know, raucous praise, if you will, when it's loud, when it's boisterous. We feel as though worship is only when it is quiet and low-key and slow music accompanies it, whether it be with lyrics or whether it be instrumental, when, you know, there is, you know, just certain aspects that go along with worship. But do you realize that you can worship God on your job? Do you realize you can worship God when you are out going to the cleaners or the laundromat? Do you know that you can worship God talking to one of your friends? Do you know that you can worship God when you're out at a restaurant? Do you know that you can worship God when you're dropping your children or grandchildren off at school? Do you know you can worship God just by sitting where you are right now, doing what you're doing right now? Worship is not about what you're doing in a church service or what you have specifically allocated as being Christian or spiritual or churchy. Paul's exhortation says that he urges, he encourages, he basically pleads with the people to understand. Because remember, when we say therefore, we need to look and see what it is there for. So if we go back into the prior verses in chapter 11, we'll see that Paul was referencing to the people as he was talking about God's righteousness. He burst forth in a doxology of praise to God. You know, he said, you know, "Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable are his ways." The last verse of chapter 11 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And then he goes on to say, "Therefore, I urge you." In other words, everything that he said prior to that everything that he talked about, everything that he shared, he then encapsulated in a therefore. Anytime you see a therefore, you need to understand what it's there for. See, the basis of his exhortation was talking about God's compassion, talking about his mercy. And so he was saying, based on everything that we have now learned about God, you ought to want to worship him, but not just worship him with your mouth, not just with your hands, but with your entire selves, offering your body. Like it is said in Romans 6, as he talked about it earlier, Romans 6 and verse 13, New American Standard Bible says, and don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members, your appendages, everything about your body as instruments of righteousness to God. In other words, you had already used your body for enough sin. Now it's time to present your bodies for use to God so that God can use your body. That is true worship. To offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. If we go back and look at the scriptures, many of the sacrifices that were brought, all of the sacrifices that were brought, more than likely, especially if they were oxen, if they were doves, if they were quail, if they were sheep or lambs, they weren't going to just lay up on an altar just on their own. They had to be killed first. Their life had to be taken. There had to be a what? Shedding of blood in order for them to lay on an altar. God is saying to us, I don't want you dead. I want your life. I want you alive. I want you to make a choice to lay yourself on the altar. And you all, we can make those choices today by how we live our lives, to not allow our lives to be used as an instrument of the devil, but then to be used as instruments of God. Because know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Bible goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 that we've been bought with a price. But isn't it interesting, you all, that even though we've been bought with a price, we have a choice to lay our bodies on that altar, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Our lives belong to God, but he gives us the choice. That's why it takes us so long to say yes. Because even though our lives don't belong to us, our free will is not taken from us. So my question, do you really know what worship is? An additional question, will you present your body as a true act of worship to God? Take about 10 seconds right now to think about the things that you do with your body that's not pleasing to God. That was a long pause, wasn't it? That was exactly 10 seconds. Within that time, you should have been able to think about the things that were not pleasing to you, to pleasing to God. And then you also had enough time to repent. You had enough time to repent. You all, we have the responsibility. The responsibility to offer our lives as worship to God, offer our bodies as sacrifices to God. When? When will we do it? When you understand now what worship is, now you should say, you know what, God? Yes. Yes, I will do that. Yes. Yes, I will offer my body. Yes. Yes, God, it belongs to you. And yes, I will serve you with my life because it is my offer of worship to you. Let's pray. Father, we glorify you. God, we bless you. God, we give you praise. God, we honor you for reminding us that us offering our bodies as no longer instruments of unrighteousness, but as instruments of righteousness, is what you're calling for us to do. God, we pray on today that we will cause, no, that we will do, we will get up on that altar and we will offer our bodies as living sacrifices because it is truly our spiritual service of worship. God, bless us today as we go along our travels. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.